hide your face. Don't hide your face. Meditate. Meditate.
You're listening to Osho Radio from our small studio in Amsterdam, in Holland. Thank you. The lecture by Osho today is from the series The Path of Love, number 1. Osho is talking about the difference between false religion and authentic religion. Authentic religion comes from within yourself. Love is the key. Osho is explaining that the common religions are repressing this energy from inside. They put rules and dogmas on you and basically keep you away from any peak experience. This is a dead religion, and Osho says love and peak experience is essential to life. Relating to everything and everybody is essential. Relating is essential. Relating to the rainbow, to the birds, to the trees, to everybody you meet is relating to God.
Thank you. Religion has very rarely existed in a healthy way. Only when a Buddha walks on the earth, or a Christ, or a Krishna, or a Kabir. Otherwise, religion has existed as a pathology, as illness, as neurosis. One who has realized religion through his own being has a totally different understanding of it. One who has been imitating others, his understanding is not understanding at all. Truth cannot be imitated. You cannot become true by becoming a carbon copy. Truth is original, and to attain to it you have to be original too. Truth is not attained by following somebody. Truth is attained by understanding your life. Truth is not in any creed, in any argument. Truth is in the deepest core of your being, hidden as love. Truth is not logic. It is not a syllogism. It is an explosion of love. And whenever truth explodes in you, you attain to a totally different vision of life, of God, of religion. Your eyes have a different quality, a different transparency, clarity. When your mind is clouded with thoughts borrowed from others, whatsoever you call religion is not religion. It is just dreaming. And the basic difference makes an imitative person pathological. A Christian is pathological. A Hindu too. Krishna is healthy, superbly healthy. So is Christ. When Christ says something, he has known it. He is not repeating somebody else. He is not a parrot. It is his own realization. And that makes the whole difference. When you become a Christian, you repeat Christ. By and by, you become more like a shadow. You lose your being. You lose yourself. You are no more true, real, authentic. A Christian is already dead, and religion is concerned with a rebirth. Yes, it is a crucifixion too. The old has to die for the new to be born. But following a dead creed, dogma, a church, you never allow the old to die. And you never allow the new to be born. You never take the risk. You never move in danger. When Christ goes to face his own being, he is moving dangerously. He is taking great risk. He is going into the unknown. Just the other night, I initiated a young man into sannyas. And I told him to seek the unknown. He said, but why and how? How I can seek the unknown? That which I don't know, how can I seek it? We only seek the known. But if you only seek the known, you will never know God, because you don't know God. If you seek the known, you will move in a circle, in a rut. You will become mechanical. Seek the unknown, because through seeking the unknown, you move out of the rut, out of the repetitive, mechanical way of life. He is also right. He says, how to seek the unknown? Drop the known. Don't cling to the known and wait for the unknown. If you don't cling for the known, if you put the known aside, the unknown comes on its own accord. The unknown is just waiting on the door, but you are so full of the known that there is no space left for the unknown to come in. The unknown would like to become a guest, but the host is interested only in the known. The host is too much occupied with the known. The host is not free even to look at the unknown. Yes, I can understand his question. How to seek the unknown? Because whatsoever you seek will be the known. Mind cannot seek the unknown. So mind is the barrier for the unknown. Mind can only seek the known again and again and again. Mind is repetitive. That's what meditation is all about. The way, the art, to drop the mind, at least for a few moments, so you can look at the unknown. Not knowing where you are going. But those are the most beautiful moments. When you don't know where you are going, when you don't know who you are, when you don't know the direction, the goal, when knowledge exists not, there is love. Knowledge is against love. Knowledgeable people cannot love. And people who can love are never knowledgeable. Love makes you wise, but never knowledgeable. Knowledge makes you cunning and clever, but never loving. The known is the mind. The unknown is God. And Jesus says, God is love. Love comes through the unknown, with the unknown, as part of the unknown. To move into the unknown, one needs courage, tremendous courage. To cling to the known, there is no need to have any courage. Any coward can do it. Cowards only do that. When you become a Christian, you are a coward. When you become a Mohammedan, you are a coward. When you become a Hindu, you are a coward. When you become religious, you are tremendously courageous. You are going for an adventure. You are seeking the unknown. You are moving into the uncharted, the unmeasured, and the immeasurable. There is every danger you may be lost. There is every danger you may not be able to come back. There is every danger that you will lose all control, you may go mad. That's the price one has to pay for real religion. People are afraid, so they cling to false substitutes. Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, these are false substitutes. Cheap, very easily available. You don't have to do anything. You are born in a certain family and you become a Christian. You are born into another family and you become a Hindu. You have not done anything. You have not chosen anything consciously. You have not moved an inch. There has been no pilgrimage. You have not searched. Of course, then religion can only be just a label. And these labels become pathological. Why they become pathological? Because your inner reality remains different and the label is totally different. Peek deep into a Hindu and a Mohammedan and a Christian and a Jaina and a Buddhist and you will find only labels differ deep inside the same human being. And these labels create trouble. The Bible goes on saying, love your enemy. And you cannot love even your friend. You cannot love even yourself. And Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you cannot love even yourself. How can you love your neighbor? And Jesus says, love your enemy. And you have not yet known even how to love your friend, how to love your beloved. You don't know the ways of love. Then what you will do, you will pretend. You will become a hypocrite. You will become a false entity. This is the pathology. You will become dual. Deep inside you will be something else. And on the surface you will go on pretending something else. Deep inside tears. And on the face you will go on smiling. This will turn you apart. This is what schizophrenia is. This is what split personality is. This is the root cause of all neurosis. Hence, religion becomes pathological. Imitated, religion creates pathology. A neurotic world. Realized by oneself, religion gives you tremendous health, well-being, celebration of life, joy, benediction. These two different types of religions have to be understood well. If your religion is just borrowed, it will create trouble in your life because it will be against life. Every moment you will feel it is against life. It will be life negative. It will make you a masochist. You will start torturing yourself. Because you will always find yourself in conflict with your religion. What to do? You will feel guilty. Each moment of your life will become a moment of guilt. Whatsoever you do, even if you are sipping a cup of tea innocently, there are religions which will make you feel guilty. In Mahatma Gandhi's ashram, the tea was prohibited. If somebody was caught sipping tea, he was punished. He had to fast for one day or 2 days as a punishment. Now just the innocent thing like tea can create guilt. What to say about other things? Anything. You find out anything and you will find some religion or other condemning it. These condemnations don't allow you to live a full life. And when you cannot live a full life, at the optimum, you will never know what God is. Because God can be contacted only at the optimum. When your flame is burning bright, when your torch is burning from both the ends, when you are a fire of living energy, only then, at the optimum, at the maximum, at the peak, you will have your first glimpse of God. When you are at your peak, that is the first step towards God. Abraham Maslow is right when he says that peak experiences make a man healthy, and only a healthy man can have peak experiences. Yes, that is right. Whenever you can have a peak, whenever you can get absorbed into any moment totally, the door opens. You touch the feet of God at the peak of your experience, when you are at a crescendo. That's why Tantra says in making love, when your orgasm is total, when your whole being is involved in it, every fiber of your being is throbbing and pulsating, and every cell of your body is alive, totally alive, when you have become just an ocean, and you are completely lost, and you don't know where you are, all boundaries have merged. In that moment of orgasm, you have your first glimpse of God, the first glimpse of Satori, Samadhi, Nirvana. But in any situation, if you can come to the peak, you will attain a glimpse of God. But your so-called religions don't allow you any peak. They cripple you. They paralyze you. They cut you short. They only allow you a minimum of life. That's what renunciation means. Live at the minimum. Only the basic needs has to be fulfilled. Your so-called religions don't teach you how to overflow. They only teach you how to become more and more narrow. They make you tunnels, narrow tunnels. Real religion will make you open, open as the sky. A real religion is bound to be affirmative. Jesus is affirmative, tremendously in love with life. Christians are not life affirmative. Krishna is life affirmative. Dancing, singing, loving. Hindus are not life affirmative. They are so-called Mahatmas, they are so-called saints, are all life negative. Poisoning life. If religion happens as your own experience, you will always find this distinction. Your religion will be life affirmative. You will say yes to life. And you will say yes totally. You will become an e-sayer. And through that yes, God enters in you. If your religion is just a conditioning, borrowed, cheap, substitute, imitative, then it will be life negative. You will be afraid of living. You will feel guilty. You will always be confused what to do and what not to do. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it good? It is bad. Borrowed religion never goes beyond morality. Authentic religion is amoral. It is always beyond morality, good and bad. It knows no distinctions. This, if you understand, you will be able to understand these beautiful sutras of Kabir. He is not a Hindu, he is not a Mohammedan, he is not a Christian. He is simply an authentic man. And his sayings are one of the purest sayings in the world. And he is not worried about anything. Whatsoever he has felt, he has said it without any compromise. Before we enter in the sutras, two, three things more. One, down the centuries, a religion has existed as a renunciation of life, escape from life. Life is wrong. Become a monk, ascetic, drop out of the life. As if to be alive is a sin. As if to be alive is a punishment. That's how so-called religious people have always been thinking. You are sent in life because you had sinned in your past lives. You have been thrown here to be punished. That is the Hindu concept. The Christian concept makes you even a greater sinner because Adam disobeyed God. So every man from the very beginning is a sinner. You are born in sin. Buddhists go on saying that life is a bondage. So get out of it, sooner the better. Escape from it. And down the centuries, only one prayer has continued all over the earth. And the prayer has been, don't send us again into the world. Kabir says, I am not for renunciation. If God creates the world, world is beautiful. If it comes out of God, it is beautiful. It cannot be a punishment. It is a reward. This is a very revolutionary statement. That the world is not a punishment. The world is a reward. That God has not thrown you into a dark and dismal cell. It is a celebration. God has loved you so much that He has created this world for you to play with, to dance with. It is a celebration. Kabir is not for renunciation. He is all for celebration. One thing. Second thing, Kabir says, life is in community. Life is a communion. So don't try to escape from the world and don't try to remain a solitary life. Because the richness is in the community. You are enriched by the community, by your relationships. The more you are related to people, the more you are rich. A solitary person living in a Himalayan cave is very poor, impoverished. Because rivers of relationships don't flow in him, he becomes a desert. Each time somebody looks in you, a river flows in. Each time somebody shakes a hand with you, an energy moves into you. Each time there is a contact, you gain something. When you drop out of all contacts, out of all relationship, and you become a solitary monk in a Himalayan cave, you have almost committed suicide. You are alive only 1%. Just because you breathe, you are alive. This is a sort of death. You are living at the minimum. You are not living at all. You are living very grudgingly. You are living very reluctantly. You are living with deep complaints that you don't want to live and you have been forced to live. You don't want this world at all. The rainbows and the trees and the stars and the people. No, you don't want to relate with anybody. When you don't want to relate with anybody, your contact with God is diminished, terribly diminished. When you come in relationship with a man or with a tree or with an animal, you are coming in contact with God in different forms. Kabir says, to be in the community is the only way to be really alive. Relationship is life. And relationship is beautiful.
Today's meditation is called Carry It 24 Hours. Relax. Just watch the body and the mind and remember you are neither. You are the watcher. This already beautiful evening becomes more ecstatic by your watching. Just watching, you will feel utter emptiness. The emptiness is the name of Buddha himself. This silence, you have all become one in an oceanic consciousness. Boundaries are lost, limits are forgotten. Collect this experience, because you have to carry it 24 hours in all your actions and gestures, words and silences. Goodbye, everybody. This was Osho Radio. You were listening in this program to music by Devakant, by Sudha, by Praful, by Prem Joshua, and we're going to end the program with Milarepa. So, it's high time you get up and dance, and we finish the program with celebration. Take care, everybody. Until next week. Namaste.
Answer.